Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, come now and open our ears, make ready our hearts, prepare our souls, that indeed we might hear a word from you this day. And having heard a word from you, we might go into the world to offer that grace to all whom we encounter. As we have just sung, we pray again, come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. In July of 1961, 38 members of the Green Bay Packers reported for the start of training camp. Their previous season had ended in the worst way imaginable, with a terrible loss. They had gone into the fourth quarter of the NFL championship game, pre-Super Bowl era, so the NFL championship game was the great game in their arena, gone into that game, into the fourth quarter with the lead, only to manage to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory as the clock expired. As you might imagine, they'd spent the season fixated on that loss, dwelling on what they had done wrong. Is there anything we could have done differently? One play, one move, what could have made the difference? But it was a new season. Training camp was upon them, a new day, new opportunities. As they reported to camp, the players were assuming that they would pick up right where they had left off. Really, all they needed was a tweak or two, and they'd really be able to be right ready to win the title all over again. Their coach, however, had a different plan. Their coach, the not yet legendary, but one day would be, Vince Lombardi, had a very different plan. He gathered all the players up in the locker room, much as you've gathered up in the sanctuary today, and he did the following. He stood in front of his players, paused for effect as he surveyed, looked into their eyes to make sure he had their attention, taking nothing for granted, starting on page one from day one, he picked up the pigskin, held it out in front of them, and he said to the professional football players in front of him those famous words, "This is a football." This is a football. He proceeded to tell them that it was made out of leather. It was stitched together in the seams. This is how you throw it. This is how you hold it. This is how you run with it, how you catch it. Then he got them up out of their seats in the locker room, took them out on the field, and he began to show them the boundaries of the field. Again, talking to them as if they had never played the sport of football before in their lives. He showed them the inlines. He walked them to the end zone. He showed them the goal line. He went so far as to explain that the object of the game is to get this piece of pigskin over the end line more than your opponent. You're thinking, what? He did what? With these professional players, his minute little time he had with them to get them ready for the season, he went all the way back to the beginning and he showed them what a football was. He started at the very beginning. He told them the object of the game, the fundamentals. That's right. In fact, at one point, in jest, out of loving respect to the coach, one of the pro players on the team, the actual pro bowler, Mac McKee, raised his hand and he said, "Hey, coach, could you slow down a minute? You're going too fast for us." But Lombardi understood a very profound and yet simple truth. He understood that mastery in almost any endeavor in life is a direct result of understanding and consistently practicing the fundamentals. Hear that again. Mastery in almost any endeavor in life is a direct result of understanding and consistently practicing the fundamentals. The rest of training camp, they went over how to block, how to tackle, how to throw, how to run, basic formations. Every day, this is a football. This is a football. John Wooden, famous coach of the UCLA Bruins, who won 10 national championships, did something similar, legend has it. Before he let any player on his team ever dribble a basketball or take the first shot at the rim, he set them down and explained to them how to put on their socks and how to tie their shoes. Think about that. He has recruited the elite of the elite college basketball players. He has them in front of him for the first time, and he literally would sit down in a chair and with his own feet demonstrate how to put on socks correctly and how to lace up your high tops right. Why? Why in the world would you do that? Can you imagine Roy Williams doing that with his players on the first day? But he understood a crucial truth. He understood that at any moment they could get a blister or an untied shoe could cost them at a critical moment in the game. And who are we to argue with the results? Vince Lombardi? Well, they went on to win the NFL championship that year, 37-0 over the New York Giants. He never lost again in the playoffs. And well, John Wooden, you know, he won 10 NCAA championships. Mastery in almost any endeavor in life is a direct result of understanding and consistently practicing the fundamentals. A few Sundays ago, May 20th to be exact, on Pentecost, Reverend Carol Gehring, our Corridor District Superintendent, was here among you to preach, celebrate Reverend David Gehring's retirement. It was the day of Pentecost, and she preached about how the Holy Spirit poured in like the sound of a rush of a violent wind, how it filled the room. Tongues of fire began to delight upon their heads, and those previously linguistically challenged, uneducated Galileans began to speak in other languages. It created such a stir that the crowd that was there for the Feast of Pentecost began to gather up and wonder, what in the world is going on with these people? Some even said, are they drunk? And someone else said, no, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. What's going on with these people? And you remember, amid all of the excitement and chaos, they're trying to figure out what is happening. That day, Reverend Gehring, as she stood among you and preached, talked about what comes next. What's most important is not what has happened, not what is happening, but what comes next. Our text for the morning reveals what comes next, what happens after Pentecost. Amid all of this confusion and chaos, Peter, rock of the church, Peter, sink like a rock, Peter. Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, stands up and essentially says, this is church. Taking a play out of Lombardi's playbook, this is church. What you're experiencing, what you're seeing, what's happening, it is church. He goes on to preach about Jesus of Nazareth, the wonders and signs and miracles that he performed. How that created such a commotion and a stir among the authorities that he was arrested. He was tried. He was crucified, dead and buried. How they thought that was the end of the story, only for God to raise Jesus from the dead. Peter concludes his sermon by saying, this Jesus is Lord and Messiah. Those who hear, those gathered up that day, are convicted. The text says they're cut to the heart. And they ask Peter, well, what should we do? What do we do now, in effect? And Peter, offering the fundamentals of faith, says, repent and be baptized. Shockingly, the text tells us some 3,000 take him up on the offer. I can't imagine what that, I baptized triplets one time, but can you imagine suddenly baptizing 3,000 people all in one day? Baptizes all of them. What happens next? Well, in my imagination, if that had been me, if I had watched the Spirit alight upon those apostles, had watched what they were suddenly able to do, how they had gone out into the streets and preached and saved the world, filled with that same Spirit, baptized in the waters, I might have felt that same temptation to go charging out the doors and take on the world. But you notice that's not what happens next. Actually, what we see is a staying put of sorts. And in my mind's eye, imagination, Peter, standing in front of those newly baptized converts, begins a training camp of sorts, if you will, starting with the fundamentals of the faith. We hear in the text how they devote themselves day by day to the reading of Scripture, to the Word of God, to prayer, to the Lord's table, to making sure all have enough. It's not hard to imagine Peter taking the new converts through a training camp, getting the fundamentals right. Because like all the greats, Peter understanding that that lays a solid foundation. Peter understands mastery in any endeavor. If this faith if this thing called church is going to ever be anything and go anywhere, it's going to be a direct result of understanding and consistently practicing the fundamentals. And the text says, day by day, they devote themselves to the breaking of bread, to the reading of Scripture, to prayer, to worship, to being sure all have enough. There's no magic pill, no quick solution they drink, no quick fix, no magic thing that suddenly causes the church to blow up and explode and move around the globe. No. It's daily devotion to the fundamentals of the faith. That is what then opens up the very ordinary people of God as they start doing extraordinary things, as we'll be looking at through the summer in July and August, of what happens in the Acts of the Apostles. Remember, these were nobodies, uneducated. They weren't leaders, never been heard of, stumbling over their own feet sometimes. And yet, as they devote themselves to these daily practices, suddenly they become, in the eyes of God and the world, these extraordinary saints doing incredible works that we'll be hearing and reading about. Soon, they'll start doing healing in the name of Jesus. Soon, they'll start speaking truth to power. Soon, they'll preach and jail cell doors will be open. Soon, they'll be preaching and teaching and serving in such a way that others who see them say, "What has gotten into them? Who are these that are turning the world upside down?" As we begin together this new season of ministry, I cannot thank Reverend David Gehring enough for all of his hospitality and welcome, for all that he has done to pave the way for this wonderful beginning for Kristen and for me and for the pastoral team, and for you as a community of faith as you have welcomed us so graciously. As we began together this spring, we've been praying and talking, how do we start that first Sunday in July? What do we do in July and August? And we began to think, well, maybe we do like the greats. Maybe we go back to page one. Maybe we start at the beginning. Maybe we treat July and August like a preseason camp of sorts, that we might be ready come fall. Maybe we start with the fundamentals. So taking a page out of Peter's playbook, taking a page out of Lombardi's playbook, we begin at the beginning today. And let me be very clear, not because you don't already know the fundamentals, and not because you don't practice them well. Of course you do. This church's reputation precedes itself. As soon as I heard the news that I was being appointed to Christ Church, people, colleagues, friends calling, saying, "You have died and gone to heaven." And I have. It has been so obvious as we've gotten underway that I have been welcomed into a glorious church, to a people who love God and love their community, to a people who are desperate to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world, who get the fundamentals. What you're doing on a missionary front, what you're doing in the community, how you're generously sharing is so beautiful. And you've been feeding me generously before you even heard me preach, which is pretty amazing that you would do so. You're a generous people who have the fundamentals figured out, I'm confident. Think about Lombardi. And he was standing in front of professional football players, and he said, "This is a football." He went back to the beginning. And so we do that together today. So, church, let us begin there. It's a good place to begin. This is the Word of God. And it may seem basic, but I'm amazed. I'm amazed at how infrequently sometimes we actually turn to it. When we remember that it contains all that is necessary for life and salvation. We remember that it is the greatest love story ever written. We hear how God created something out of nothing and called it not just good, but very good. We hear about the prophets who proclaimed God's mercy and justice and who call us forth to be the best God's dreamed us to be. We hear how when our love failed and we turned away, God sent us Christ in the fullness of time. How he redeems us. And we hear what is to come, life eternal, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, about that day when there will be no more suffering or pain or tears anymore. This is the Word of God. We devote ourselves to reading it. That is the font. This, brothers and sisters, is the place where we come to remember who we are. We come and we touch the waters and we remember, brothers and sisters, that it is in the waters of our baptism that we have been claimed, we have been named, and we have been aimed. I remind you that in the waters of baptism, Jesus, the heavens open and the voice of God declares about Jesus, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And that's before he's done any act of ministry, before he's done anything to earn it or deserve it or merit it. God says, "You are my Beloved. I am well pleased." And God means the same for you and for me. We come to the waters and we remember that love and that grace. This, friends, faithful ones, is the Lord's table. The bread of life, the cup of salvation, where we are sustained and we remember our sins have been forgiven and we are fed sustenance for the journey. We've been singing out of the hymn book. We've been praying this morning. You're gathered in worship today with glad and generous hearts praising God together often in the temple. These are the practices. These are our fundamentals as a people called little Christ, Christians, faithful followers. And I'm absolutely convinced, brothers and sisters, Christ Church, that the best days for us are yet ahead. The best days that God has in store for us individually and for us collectively as a community of faith are ahead of us. And if we will devote ourselves, as those earlier followers did, if we will devote ourselves to these daily fundamental practices, we will open ourselves up. Mastery of any endeavor is rooted in understanding and consistently practicing the fundamentals. I'm convinced if we will do this, soon the people of Southern Village, the people of Chapel Hill, the people of Chatham County and Orange County will be saying, "What's gotten into those people at Christ Church? What in the world? Look at how they love. Look at how they serve. Look at how they are turning the world upside down." So I want to ask this of you, and I ask it of myself. As we begin training camp, I want to ask you to recommit. Commit for the first time. Recommit. Double down your commitment to these fundamental practices. Will you join me in reading the Word of God daily? That was pretty good. Will you join me in reading the Word of God daily?
Yes.
Will you join me in gathering around the Lord's table, breaking bread and drinking this cup of life?
Yes.
And here's, friends, hear this. They did it in homes, so it doesn't always have to be in this sacred place. Whenever you sit down and break bread and two or more are gathered, we lift up our plates, you might even say, as an offering to God. We know that God is blessing us. Will you join and gather around the Lord's table?
Yes.
Amen. Will you pray daily? I had the chance this week to come and be with the prayer team of this church. Holy cow, they can pray. Wow, and they prayed for Kristen, they prayed for me, they prayed for the church. I called one of our shut-ins this week, and she said, "Let me tell you about our prayer team. Already do I feel the anointing and the power of prayer. When we pray, God works through that prayer." Will you commit to praying daily?
Yes.
Will you commit to worship? Now, here's the thing I learned at annual conference this year. Do you know this about United Methodism? Do you know that there are more United Methodist churches in the United States of America than there are post offices? So don't tell me, wherever you're going on vacation, that there's not a United Methodist church somewhere nearby. We will gather for worship, whether it's here or there, or gathering in our homes to worship and to pray, because, again, it's the practice of the fundamentals that form us, that this becomes instinct, that we then, with glad and generous hearts, serve in the world. Oh, brothers and sisters, what God has in store for us as the people of God, what God wants to do through us if we will make ourselves vessels that are available, formed well and ready. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God's preferred future is ahead. Let us commit to doubling our commitment. Let us understand, this is church. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.